Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Does anybody know where Brian went on vacation?
Harrisville.
Some beach in New Hampshire, I think.
With hair like that, he's got to get some waves.
With hair like that!
When I think beaches, I think New Hampshire.
Maybe they have great beaches.
It feels like a trip through his past. I'm enjoying his Twitter because everything's like, 58 years ago, I went through this Halloween tunnel. Now it's still here. In the town that never changes.
You guys remember the Texaco Star Theater?
Brian's my favorite Bradbury character. Like, he's going to peel off his face and reveal he was a Martian all along.
He is the closest we have to Mork.
It got too mean. That was the threshold. That was the meanness threshold.
Calling him Mork?
Yeah, you crossed it.
Who wouldn't want to be Mork? He was born out of an egg.
Yeah. I don't think he was born out. I think that was his means of transport, not
his birth. No, they come out of eggs.
No,
John Winters was born out of an egg, too.
Well, that was real life. You learned about that in his biography.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing in Animal Crossing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and we just showed our hand a little bit.
My name is Chris Plant, and I'm here.
My name is Russ Rushdick, and I know the best game of the week.
That's so central. That's like
the whole show with an erection.
It's like those YouTube videos with the pleasure whispers that they like do to put people to sleep.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
This is the Besties, where we compare the latest and greatest in games, tech, movies, dance,
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. This week we're going to really drill down on Animal Crossing and just talk about Animal Crossing.
Listen, I know a lot of you guys are like, what about The Last of Us? That's an important groundbreaking game that you guys need to discuss, given your sort of combative history with it. We'll get there. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
But not this week.
Not this week. We thought we'd give you a bit more time to finish it. So finish it. But for this week, we're going to talk about Animal Crossing. Now, Animal Crossing is a game I use that in the loosest sense of the word.
We reviewed it on Polygon, and we don't do that for not games.
Well, we've also discussed it on the show. Like, Animal Crossing has had time on Besties before, so it's worth noting.
Has it had enough time, though, is the question.
It has had, so far, it has had less time than Neverwinter. Therefore, we thought we'd give it a chance to surpass the only game Griffin ever brings in.
So, Animal Crossing, let's just, like, get deep into this.
Mm-hmm.
My best thing about Animal Crossing is the best example that I'm a masochist, and here it is. When I was in Animal Crossing, and I'm assuming if you haven't played Animal Crossing, you're not going to listen to this.
They're definitely gone.
Okay, so
I'm the Ellen Page of this podcast. You have to explain everything.
Russ Rushdick is angry that they stole his likeness for the character of the pelican who delivers your mail.
Oh, I thought you meant Snowden. Because I look
so,
like Snowden.
You do look like that.
You do kind of. In Animal Crossing, you're the mayor, but before you can start making big sweeping changes, you have to win over the populace, right? So you pull some weeds, post some dope shit on the message boards.
Can we pause real quick? I actually want to talk about the mayor thing, because before we get too deep into it, it seems weird to me that you're riding this train, right? You're going into the village,
right?
And some cat walks up to you and is like, hey, where are you going? And you're like, oh, I'm going to this village. I've never been there before. And the cat's like, hey, guess what? You're the mayor now.
Well, the cat doesn't do that.
No, he just wants to know your name.
Yeah.
Well, who declares that you're mayor?
You get off the train as soon as you roll up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's like, "Welcome, mayor," because they're confused because the mayor didn't get on that train.
They're fucking animals.
Yeah,
so
they're dumb.
Okay,
yeah.
But is it like Hudsucker Proxy where they want you to like tank the town so they could then sell it for cheap?
Yeah, they can burn it.
Wow, thanks for spoiling Hudsucker Proxy.
I was gonna get to it. It's on my Netflix queue. I was gonna get to it this weekend.
Everybody thought they only had to worry about Animal Crossing spoilers, and then this asshole rolled into town on the train, comes ruining them.
So once you become the mayor by winning over your populace by giving them gifts and writing notes to them and emailing them, you are given the ability to make sweeping changes to your town that you're the mayor of. When I made my very first thing that I could do once I became, you know, full in control mayor of Neo Tokyo was to build. The first thing I did was I decided to rebuild the Rossetti Center.
The Rossetti Surveillance Center, which has a kind of a creepy prism-esque quality to it.
If you don't know Rossetti, he's a mole that watches you play Animal Crossing forever, and that's his life sentence. And if Rossetti sees you turn off Animal Crossing without saving it, he comes for you.
He is not happy.
He's very, very upset. But for some reason, with an economic downturn before Animal Crossing New Leaf, Rossetti has been, he's lost his job, basically, and just working on a volunteer basis. But you, in your power as mayor, can rebuild him. You can put Rossetti back in his tyrannical position as the overwatcher of your town.
Or the underwatcher.
The underwatcher of your town. And he is, his center is the absolute most expensive thing that you can do. And
That's not true, as far as I had the option to do.
I have a question.
And the only purpose that I know that it serves is that he will yell at me if I turn it off. That's it.
Well, you can chill with him.
Yeah, okay. you can get his photograph.
Guys, what? Don't you think it's a mistake to have a mole running your surveillance center?
Right.
No.
Well, I mean,
think about that.
He's leaking all of it back to Fisame.
No, he's your mole.
Yeah. No, he's Fisame's mole. How do you think Fisame can have that money for those sweet bedsheets he's got?
He's got nice bedsheets.
Both in real life and in the game, I imagine.
So we should imagine
he's got some hotel quality shit.
We should note that Mr. Rossetti has been in every Animal Crossing game before New Leaf, and as Justin mentioned, he is an optional aspect of New Leaf in the sense that he'll only appear after the first time if you build his house for him. Or his underground cave.
His bunker.
It's basically what you get for the 368,000 bells that you have to spend to rebuild this guy's center. What you get is a manhole.
Yeah.
There's a manhole.
Well, and then you can go in and hang out with him and his uncle.
It only opens up, as far as I can tell, on clear weather days when it rained yesterday for a very brief period of time after 8 p.m. And then it opens up like the fucking hatch at the end of season one of Lost. Like, a golden light, a mysterious light shoots forth from the ground, and you're left to explore his info dungeon.
Where he keeps all the data. That's what I want to know. Is he watching everybody in town, too? That's important to me. I need that information to govern.
So, interestingly enough, there's been interviews with the creator of New Leaf, and they said that the reason that he was made optional is because he really upset many children in previous games who didn't save and then were yelled at.
He's the second scariest creature that occupies the Animal Crossing village, the first being Dr. Shrunk, the comedian nightclub owner Axotl. And he yells and he screams and he gives you a tirade. He was actually I've only done it once. He was very forgiving because he was like, "Hey dog, just real quick, just wanted to stop in and just check and see what happened because you just kind of vanished and I just wanted to know what's up." And I was like, "I'm sorry, Mr. Rossetti, my battery died." And he was like, "Totally cool, totally cool, totally cool. Like, I get it. Batteries don't last as long as they used to. Just be careful about it." And like, I took that to heart But really, it was out of fear of like how he was going to come back at me if I did it a second time.
And he will.
And he will.
With a vengeance.
Can we talk about how this game is kind of based on racial stereotypes? Like,
in what way?
Mr. Rossetti is obviously the New York Italian super who's like, hey, you're making too much noise. I get it. It's your birthday.
You know, that's funny. It doesn't really sound like an Italian super to me, Plan. I think you could try a little harder.
What? Who does it sound like?
I'm just saying the way you're delivering these lines doesn't sound
relatable. I'm not going to do a patented Russ Frushtick offend everyone voice.
I'm just saying. You want to throw your weight into it.
In previous Animal Crossing games, Rossetti would get so angry at you that he would actually, like, have forced you to type in a text apology to him on your controller. He would want it word for word. You would type exactly what you wanted him to say.
And it was always like, I'm scum. I am a worm. And I'm so sorry. Because moles eat worms.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, he is by far the most convincing reason I've ever seen in any game ever to save your progress. Like, there's never been another game where I'm like, oh, shit, I better save my progress or else. And he brings that to the table with his fury.
Well, there's also the fact that if your game turns off before you save, all the shit that you did is done. So, like, during E3, that's when my battery died. I lost literally 20 flowers. 20 of my flowers just died right on the spot, right on the table.
Well, that's Mr. Rossetti.
Mr. Rossetti.
Kind of a weird way to start talking about this. It's sort of a weird intro point for a deep dive.
I did want to say on my deep dive, though, I found this YouTube clip when I was thinking about Mr. Rossetti, and this was the last thing that Mr. Rossetti says to you, like the last dialogue he'll have with you. This is from the GameCube version, of course. And he says, hey, you idiot. I thought I made it clear to look at me when I'm talking to you. I said, look at me. Now. And then you look at him and it zooms in real close and he says, I never noticed before, but you got some nice eyes.
Huh.
Yeah, real hypnotic. Let me tell you something. This ain't about you personally, but more about the world in general. People see something they don't want to see, and for whatever reason, they pretend they don't see nothing. People see a problem they don't want to deal with, they pretend they're too busy to be bothered. This sort of tendency spreading like a disease. It's real tragic to say, but that's the world we live in. Doesn't that seem sort of all messed up to you?
It's because of Mr. Rossetti that Domo was struck down in Supreme Court today.
Thank you, Mr. Rossetti.
Thank you, Mr. Rossetti, for being the spark of activism that Wendy Davis needed to stand up and deliver the filibuster that she delivered. That's all. I'm not saying that's 100% of the reason why she did it. It was definitely.
I want to talk about Cap'n.
Who's Cap'n?
Can we talk about something a little bit more mechanical instead of just how much we like these different characters?
Oh, okay. No, I would love to talk about something boring.
We can talk about something mechanical that I experienced. Because Cap'n, come on, who cares?
Let's get to Cap'n, but I'm saying let's just take a quick mechanical.
We'll take a breather. Sure. So we were all at E3. We all know that E3 is a bit of a stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe had about a half hour free each day during E3, maybe a little less. And in that time, I'd check my email, I'd make some phone calls I needed to make. And then one day, I had about 6 minutes left. There was a shoot going on at noon. It was 11:54. And I casually go and I'm like, hey, I've got a bunch of turnips that I bought at the beginning of the week. What are the prices at?
You bought turnips knowing that you were in for the busiest week of the year. Thinking like, oh, I'll have ample time to
money never
to
sleeps.
Exchange.
Didn't you see that movie?
Money does sleep during E3. Money takes a hefty week-long hibernation nap.
Nope. Definitely not. Well, anyway, I bought about 5,000 turnips before E3. So it's 6 minutes to noon, and I check my turnip prices just casually. I'm like, well, whatever. I just want to see what it's trending towards. And it's at like $2.88.
Ooh.
And I don't know how many listeners out there know, but the turnip prices actually change once a day at noon. So they'll be different in the morning and different in the afternoon. So
also, I don't know how much of our listeners know that $2.88 is the a hefty,
that
a
is
prince a princely sum.
Hella good. That's essentially like a almost 3 times return on your money. So essentially, I was on the clock both editorially because I had to produce a show in about 6 minutes. And also, if 6 minutes elapsed without me making a mad sprint through my Animal Crossing town, I would lose out on this massive bail sum that I was hoping to gain. Literally the most intense 6 minutes of E3 was me sprinting.
Did you do any... I saw you look hurried and rushed.
Yep.
In the meat space, the physical zone.
If you thought I looked hurried and rushed there, you did not understand the internal turmoil that I was going through as I sprinted with all my might through my town.
The flowers that were
the
just...
The flowers crushed. Were just
flowers, you just
dashed.
Ran right through them. Just fuck it.
You walked
fuck
through
it.
A
I'll
rock.
Buy fucking I'll buy, 60 I'll buy... flowers with the billions of bells I'm going to make. It was literally, and I had a curse that day. I don't know if you had, you know.
Oh yeah,
curses.
So you're tripping and
so
falling.
So I kept tripping. It was straight
shit.
Up.
Was the fucking 24 clock playing behind you?
Yeah, it was. Chloe was giving me directions.
Damn it, Chloe!
Cellular phone. I had to open packets.
You get to retail, and then fucking Tony Almeida blows it up.
Yeah,
right in front of you. Cyrus is dead.
What?
Cyrus died.
Is Cyrus? Oh, the,
he's the llama
the sheep?
That works. He's the llama that works at retail.
Yeah. Okay. So it really goes to show how intense these turnips can be, and I think turnips have become a big part of the social element of the game because invariably, as everyone buys turnips, the only time you can buy them is Sunday mornings, and then throughout the week, I mean, Griffin, I'm asking people, what are your turnip prices at? What are your turnip prices at? Now, generally, I only stick to people that I know and trust.
Did you find a rando?
No, but someone on the podcast went on Twitter and asked if anyone had good turnip prices and went and took advantage of a nice reader who had very good turnip prices. Who was that?
I don't know. Who was that?
I think that was Chris Plant.
Chris Plant? You dipped into the, you dipped your pen into the company ink?
That's not what that means.
Somebody may have been very kind and notified me that they had their turnip prices were like $3.82 or something. I mean,
oh my god, you gotta capitalize on
and,
that.
And I asked myself, I said, I'm not the type of person who just, you know, who does that sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't just want it. You don't want it and done it on a reader. You don't hit it. You don't hit it and quit it, so to speak.
So you gotta be friends with them from now on.
Here's what I did. Well, one, I'll be, of course.
No, you won't.
That's natural.
Like.
But two, I went, I made my first million, baby's first million on turnips.
Did you then fall on a stool?
No.
Oh, sorry, it was Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, thank you. and then I went outside of his train station, and I left one of each fruit I had. And I left a few special fortune cookie prizes.
So this is important. This is worth noting. So Chris Plant made over $1 million in bells from this poor turnip person.
Well, he made a million bells, not $1 million worth of bells, because that would be infinity bells.
True. But the person was so early in their development that they didn't even have any fruit in their town. And he's like, oh, you don't have any fruit? Here's some fruit. I'm going to just take this millions of bells with me.
Did you break them off?
No.
10%
here's
fucking
thing.
Finder's fee.
I didn't give cash.
I didn't give a cash because I feel like giving cash is like, it's a little insulting. You know, it's a little trashy. But what I did do is...
No,
you
gave him trash.
No, I gave him all those gifts that he needed, and I paid off his first public works project.
How?
Oh, wow. That was
cash.
How'd you know how much it was?
Because it told me when I went there. Because
Lloyd the Gyroid will tell you that shit.
It was like $90,000.
Wow, $90,000
bells. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happened. Like, we have crossed over so thoroughly into this world that its currency has a very real, very fungible place in our real lives.
Guys, can I tell you about something I did for halftime that involves Animal Crossing, but also real life?
Yeah, that sounds like.
Wait, how
blend.
Are they different?
So. Here's the thing. I am feeling really confident about my moves in the stock market,
the turnips
market.
Yeah.
So I've begun researching how to trade online, and I opened my own online trading account thinking that it would be as easy to trade real stock.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
Wait a second. Wait a second. You're talking about a secondary black market for turnip sales.
No.
What he's saying to you right now is perhaps more horrifying. What he's saying is that he was so emboldened by his turnip trading acumen.
Oh my God.
He looked at the human stock market and said, ah, fuck, can't be that different.
Are fucking
It's all green, right,
me.
Baby? All green.
You opened up an E-Trade. Too. And you, that baby, his siren call was undeniable in those commercials. Yeah. And you thought that, would you get Apple? Because I guess you know shit about apples and it's like produce.
Here's the problem. So, you know, I needed to educate myself. So first I listened to How Stuff Works on Stocks.
Oh my God.
No, really? That's a good
turn
place
up
to
instruction
start.
And wasn't enough.
And I read stuff you should know.
So, question though, are you supposed to buy high?
No, so you buy low. But,
oh, okay.
But it turns out there are a lot more options than just buying low.
Yeah, you can't
Wait
just search.
Why did you just search low?
You
just search for nips.
The only it's companies I know anything about are video game companies, yeah. Which I can't invest in.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
So then I thought, you know, like maybe I could get into, like furniture.
Wait.
So I started researching.
Wait, you literally started picking things from Animal Crossing that you could invest in?
I just started looking on Amazon for companies that were selling well. I could find them and invest in them.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I can't believe that no stock trading professional has ever thought to check before buying stocks to see how well a thing is selling. You are ahead of the fucking game there, Gordon Gekko.
Oh, my.
Please tell me you pulled the trigger and bought something.
No, so what I did is I met a person during a civic duty that I cannot talk about meeting anyone during. Who may or may not be involved in flipping microtransactions of stocks, and I'm going to invest with him.
No, that's a horrible idea.
No, it's great.
That's the riskiest form of stocks.
It's like flipping a house. It's all profit.
Guys,
no risk.
Trust me, it's just like turnips.
It's pretty much all like turnips.
Yeah.
Can you? You could actually probably go on the stock market, like the stock market with an O, and buy turnip futures in the way that you could buy like frozen concentrated orange juice.
Well, I thought about maybe doing that with honey. Because, you know, all the bees are dying.
Yeah, so
that's
going to be
a great idea.
Value.
Yeah, right? And then I'm going to also invest in bees. So if it works out either way,
double
I'm
down.
Good. Yeah.
Double down.
It's like going in red and black.
No, that's not how that works. No,
and then
both
it just comes
bees
out like a...
and honey would go up in value. If the bees were in numerous, then they'd go down in value.
But he's saying he buys both sides of it.
Yeah.
And then at the very worst, he'll be in the magenta.
So the only thing he could buy on the other side of it is no bees.
Well, right. Yeah, sure, I'll just hedge it. Guys, I know what hedge means now.
I'm investing in, man, I hate bee stings.
No more bees showing up.
Bee repellent.
Well, that was an
no,
educating...
No, bee repellent would be... If there were no bees, then the bee repellent market would also go...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have to even it out. So maybe bee food?
Yeah, do bee food. That'll bee work food. Out great. Because if worse comes to worse, you can just eat the food.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Plant, tell me about Cap'n.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Cap'n can make it happen. Cap'n is the man who motors the boat. He drives the boat or steers the boat. You steer a boat.
Yeah, generally you steer one.
Sure.
It's like an outboard motor.
Yeah, from the shores of your town to an island.
Mm-hmm.
And the island is nice, don't get me wrong. And your town is nice, don't get me wrong.
I still haven't been. Is the island, like, fresh?
Yeah,
the island has mad beetles on it.
It has lots of beetles. You can make some big money. If you want to break the game and not be a fun person, you can cut down all the pine trees and stamp all the flowers and then harvest tons and tons of beetles because it'll only refresh beetles onto the island. I learned that from one of our engineers, unsurprisingly. That's not the fun part, though. The fun part is the Cap'n, who sings to you when you take a boat ride from your town to the island.
Yep.
And the songs, they're little ukulele numbers, and they touch my heart.
Give us one.
Well, I only know the beginning of one, where it's like... So, his voice doesn't... It's not actually words, but the words on the bottom of the screen go along with kind of the noise.
Sure, that's sort of Animal Crossing standard. Yeah, it would be like crazy if he was like, "Hey, girl, riding on my boat," but in like human English.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Because he's a turnip. Or what is he, a turtle?
Yes, he's a turnip. Please, okay, please. Just let me get to the
island. You've been trying to sell him for
just
weeks.
Let me get to the island and see Clemency.
Yeah, I just love him. You know, like, I can't recreate what he does. We could, like, cut in the song, but that seems like...
No, we're not going to do that.
No, it's too much.
Here's the interesting thing about Cap'n. Is that letting him sing his song takes at least 4 minutes of time.
And it's so worth it.
And one of the things about Animal Crossing is that every process that you do takes way, way longer than it should. For example, going to the store and buying a fortune cookie, eating that fortune cookie, reading the fortune inside, and then trading the fortune cookie in for the prize takes about 17 or 18 minutes.
It takes forever. And I literally haven't gotten a new item in probably 2 weeks using that method, but I still do it every day.
It is a colossal pain in the ass. And the fact of the matter is, with Cap'n, it's the one instance where you can actually speed it up. Because as he starts singing, you can jam the B button.
And why would you
want to? And he'll be like, "Oh, you don't like my singing? Fuck no, Cap'n, I want some Beatles."
Oh. Yeah.
And then you get to the island way faster.
Especially when you're trying to make like several Beatle runs in one night, because you're trying to rake in those bells.
Yeah.
That's gross. How do you guys enjoy the game?
A mechanical question. How do you guys get, like, rare stuff? Let's move on to the pro tip section. How do you get, like, rare bugs and fish?
I'm glad you asked, Justin. So there's something called Feng Shui, where you can arrange your house in such a way that'll increase your luck. So, for example, more rare items will show up in the store. When it comes to fish and stuff like that, there's no great way to do it. If you know that a fish shows up in the lake at noon, when it's raining and it's noon, but he's not showing up, sometimes I'll just do save and continue, and it'll refresh the world, and the fish might show up.
This is such generally, a gross way to play this game.
Generally, though, the island, in general, will have more expensive, like, yeah, just the butterflies island, that are there, yeah, and the beetles that are there, and the fish in the water, they're typically
worth more. You'll make Skrilla on the island.
There are also games on the island that award their own currency, and they are not fun.
No, they're awful.
But there are certain items that you can get on the island, like a wetsuit or snorkel.
Well, and I will say, as the person who reviewed the game for the site, I had it a month before, like, other people who I could play with had it. And there's an item you can get that lets you play those mini games with randos that'll do, like, matchmaking. So that was, like, my only form of contact with other Animal Crossing players, is I would do matchmaking and then sync up with, like, Japanese players of the game who'd been on it for a while. And it was very informative. I made a lot of friends that way.
It wasn't like a MOBA where they were, like, yelling at you that you weren't digging up the fossils fast enough?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to play it not all random, all middle, and so, like, they got pretty frustrated with me.
Yeah.
They said some pretty harsh things about my DPS. But for the most part, it was a pleasant experience.
Would you agree that all of those minigames are the opposite of fun?
Some of them are kind of fun. When you play it with multiple people, it's more fun. By yourself, yeah, it's kind of lame. There's a matching, like, a memory game in there that I'm especially good at.
Yeah, brought to you by 1983.
Yeah,
I should have mentioned this when Plant was talking about his thing, but I did want to admit to you guys something. One of the characters in the game is a duck. I think he's a duck, right?
Pate.
It washes up on the beach. And he forgets where he's
Gulliver.
Going.
I think he's a pelican, right?
Pelican.
Well, yeah, his name is Gulliver, so it's totally logical to think he's not a seagull.
No, he's probably a seagull.
So he's a seagull, and he forgot where he is going. He can't remember his destination, so he asks you for help, and he gives you some geographic clues about.
I always get, you know,
where he was trying to
clues.
Get to. I've never missed one because I'm the greatest, but. He mentioned one of the country he was talking about was Vietnam, which I figured out later, but he said they have a sweet coffee that is sort of popular there, that mixes condensed milk and strong coffee.
Wow, that's fairly esoteric.
I didn't know about that, and afterwards I started researching it and I actually bought a Finn filter
Wow, that you, Justin, and I Vietnamese coffee and condensed milk.
I can't believe that you bought something random on Amazon for no good goddamn reason.
Well, I wanted to sample this delight that it seemed to enchant Gulliver.
So. Yeah.
Justin?
Yes.
The first thing that was available in my recycle was a coconut tree that was like growing from the coconut, like a thin stalk growing from the coconut, and then I saw one in the shop right next to my house, and I made it like I grabbed it and then stopped myself.
Yeah, because you thought I should save my money on this so that I can spend it in the stock market that Animal Crossing inspired me to join up with.
Yeah.
You are going to lose the shirt off your fucking back, Chris Plant.
Guys, do you remember when I trash-talked this game because I thought I would hate it because it's everything I don't traditionally like in a video game?
Yeah, I wish we could cut in Chris Plant being a fucking snob about Animal Crossing just to, like, do a little time travel. I'm sorry to give you more work, Griffin, but that would be pretty great.
Can I talk about my thing?
Yeah.
My thing is the greatest narrative anyone's ever included in a video game before. Forget about all your Final Fantasies and your Lasts of Us and your Uncharteds and your Bioshocks. Because this is the greatest narrative ever, and it was authored by me accidentally. It is my Queen of Versailles-esque decline into interior decorating madness. I, for a while, was sitting pretty, not only in terms of my finances, which I showed off to everybody at E3 because I was so proud. I had like almost $5 million in the bank. I was living large and simultaneously in charge. And my neighbors loved me. I tried to do at least one favor for all my neighbors once a day, partially because I genuinely care about them. But also because I want to get their pictures for the Happy Home Academy points that they would reward. And also because I have a very, very complex road system built into my town. And whenever they move away, it's kind of hard to redesign it. At some point during E3, and I don't want to blame it entirely on Russ, but it's mostly Russ's fault, is I got this bug in my butt.
Yeah.
That my whole life... had to be about your Happy Home Academy
HRA
rating.
Baby,
which if you HHA if you don't know, if you
Happy
don't play
Room Academy,
you get points for how you decorate your house, and there are certain things you can do to get those points, but the biggest way is to collect full sets of furniture. And for literally, you know, the past 2.5 weeks, however long it's been since E3, that has been my only ambition. I have left my town to ruin and crumble. I have spent literally every dime I had, every bell that was in my bank account.
Are weeds now sentient? Are they strangling people?
My town is now run by weeds. it's a sorry state of affairs because my house is almost fully maximized. I've almost gotten every home extension, so like it's cavernous. It's this cavernous Xanadu that is also very hollow. There's very little furniture in those places. I've only completed like 2 sets, and I have like 6 rooms, so there's just a lot of space and not a lot of joy in those halls. It's kind of like the end of There Will Be Blood.
Sure.
It's just
me. Do you have a bowling alley?
It's just me. No, I do have an arcade, but nobody to fucking play with it because I haven't talked. I've gotten to the point where like I'll talk to my neighbors, and if you go too long without talking to one of them, they'll give you like a... oh, hey, I didn't know you were still around.
Or, oh, really? You're still the mayor?
Yeah.
Nice
really,
work,
like,
buddy.
I thought that you, I thought we were beefing, but I guess we're not, so that's cool. Anyway, did you need anything?
I had that happen today.
What?
Some elephant told me, it's been a week since we talked. Thought you were mad at me. Whatever. What's going on? I don't fucking need that from you, elephant.
It used to be like, hey, Griffin. Oh, man, what a great day. Let's catch some butterflies together. And now it's like... you're all about, you've become so fucking materialistic, and it's all that you care about, and I don't know, I don't know how to talk to you anymore.
And you know what the funny thing is the only reason that I'm sort of obsessed with that HHA score is because I just want to max it out to get all the unlocks, and then so I don't have to worry about, like, my HHA score anymore, so I can design my house however I want.
Yeah.
So the fact that I can't just skip to that final step is insane.
That's what I did. I just never worry about it.
Yeah, I know. But my HHS score is through.
I could be freed. I wish I could be freed from my materialistic shackles. I wish I could just go full Taoist. But it's not gonna. I don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon because I haven't even hit that 100K mark yet. And I've still got a long road to hoe. Even once I get to that point. I used to be fucking Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and now I'm like a total Citizen Kane.
You know, like, as an expert on both these things, I think you should play Animal Crossing like you play the stock market. It's like a long game. I mean, you have a lot of things to see all year long. You don't have to get it all done right now. Kind of let it happen naturally. I mean, there are going to be ups and downs, sure. But, like, eventually cash out when it's high.
Wait, when it's high?
So how is that even remotely useful for, like, how I socialize with my digi friends?
You want to invest in your friends.
Yeah, with talking, and then it pays out in photos of them.
Sure.
Do you guys play in 3D?
No, F that S.
The only thing I've noticed is that it's easier to catch bugs.
It eats your battery.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't eat your battery?
No, it's the same.
No, it eats.
That's
it's
madness.
Like a. It's like
you
a
were actually
bright.
The person who was like, "No wonder your battery's always dying. It's in 3D."
That sounds like me, but no, I don't remember saying that.
It is a great impression, but
I'm still kind of living in fear of the day in which, and it's kind of the same fear that I accumulated when I was really into World of Warcraft, which is one of these days I'm gonna fucking stop playing this game. And then it's basically, I might as well just throw my 3D, might as well throw all of my games down a well at that point, because it's like, how many hours did I give to you?
Yeah.
Well, I know what you mean. I've been tempted, actually, to just sort of, I'm getting to a point that I actually get to in MMOs a lot, where it's like, what am I doing?
See, you
like,
think, what is this you know, for?
I'm
you
not
think
having
so.
Fun.
You think
I
so.
I am fun to talk about.
But
it.
Then you wake up one day and they're like, guess what, guys? It's festival day. Collect feathers. And then you fucking.
Is that coming
do
up?
It. Damn straight it is. Mark your calendars. I don't actually know. But that's what happens with this game. There's a surprise around every corner. And I would agree, it's going to get to a point where I'm just going to have to stop. But the fact that, like, everyone around me is playing it just propels it even more. Just like an MMO. Like, you feel like you want to stay caught up with people. The only thing that has pulled me away in terms of portable gaming has been Hotline Miami on Vita.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
And it's kind of amazing because they both have the same perspective. But the transition from playing Animal Crossing to Hotline is a little bit daunting because you can't help but notice, like, hey, everyone has animal heads. Oh, wait, but I'm bashing their brains into the ground.
When you say perspective, you mean existential perspective.
No, I mean, like, isometric.
Oh, okay.
Doi.
If we were a shitty TV show, this is when we would cut away to, like, a mashup we made.
Yeah.
Of the two.
Peter Griffin!
Oh, that was good. Wow.
Yeah,
Seth MacFarlane in here.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That's all the celeb voices.
Do you get how much longer do you think you guys are going to play Animal Crossing?
I want to see all the seasons.
Okay, so this is my play. First of all, you're not seeing all the seasons unless you time travel. This is what I want to do. Right now, my HHA score is at like 180, so it's max.
You're trying to get to what, like 250?
No, I'm trying. I need to get all the house expansions, and then it unlocks the theme challenge. And the theme challenge has you, like, theming each room and getting a bunch of points for that.
Oh,
once
shit.
I do that, I'm going to start worrying about public ordinances and works, and I'm going to build the shit out of those.
What
and then I'm
going to
blow
with?
My brains out because I've wasted so much fucking time on this game.
What ordinances are you guys rocking right now?
I'm a boomtown.
Bell's ordinance. All about the Bell's ordinance.
Yeah, Bell's.
I still got that early. Paid. I got
that
early bird.
That early bird. It's a waste.
It's not, because I wake up in the morning at 7 a.m. and I play the game for like 30 minutes. And that's.
Dude, I sell everything for 20% more moolah.
Right. But it's really not about the money.
During work.
It's not about the money for me anymore. It's all about it's all about the furniture.
Well, yeah, it is. By the way, anyone have any minimalist furniture? I need some of that.
Well, I will check on that, and I hope that you at home will check out Polygon.com. It's a website we make every day full of video games, news, reviews, previews, the whole kit and caboodle. There's lots of Animal Crossing stuff on there if you want more of that. You can follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook/Polygon, YouTube/Polygon. There's lots of other stuff.
Also, we should mention, if you're a reader and don't mind being abused by Chris Plant for your turnip prices, he's fully capable of totally running you off the road for good prices.
We should also mention that if you're hearing this and you have good prices right now, please let me know, because I managed to save up a couple hundo thou, and it's literally my last hope. If my turnips ruin, I'll be ruined. I'll be done.
You should play it. That's too risky. You should play it safe, like Chris Plant, and only play the real stock market, where there's very little impact. Thank you so much for joining us at home. Make sure you join us again next Friday for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?